Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, we can worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for your goodness, that you're a good God. Lord, we bless you for Pastor Shannon. I had a vision of Pastor Shannon. I saw her heart shining and glowing. So I thank you for her heart, Lord, that our pastor has a heart that's pure and is bright. And it's the heart that really counts. So we bless you for her. Work through her today, through the words, through the scriptures, through the illustrations. Lord, we say that our hearts are open to hear from you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Good word. Thank you. Thank you. God is faithful. Amen. Even when we don't think he is. Doesn't change who he is. Yes. Well, this morning, we are going to look, we're starting a little series here, maybe. Oh, I guess I have to turn it on. No, it is on. Is the, there we go, finally. Oh, okay, there it comes. Oh, wow. You know, what you can see on the screen and what you can see up here are two different things, so I apologize. It was beautiful on my screen, on my computer. It says, the power of identity. And today, so we're going to spend a couple of weeks. I'm not speaking next week because I'm at convention, or just back from convention. But we're going to spend some time looking at the power of identity. And one of the things that we need to recognize is identity is everything, if I can put it that way, beyond God. What we know about ourselves and what we know about God. And so today, we're going to start by looking at the attributes of God. Now, don't get too caught up in the fact that I said identity is everything. Okay, don't get too caught up in that. Okay, we need to know who we are and we need to know who God is. And so often we look at our identity, but we don't stop to really get into God's identity. And why would we want to know about God's identity and his attributes? Because, exactly, we want to understand our own identity, our new creation in Christ. If we're being conformed to his image, what is it that we're being conformed to? Now, how many of us know that all the promises and scriptures are ours in Christ Jesus? Amen. Or we can say that. We can quote that scripture. And Jesus himself said this. He said, ask anything in his name and it will be done. Now, let me see here. If I can get this thing to move forward. There we go. Boy, it's slow. He says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, hold on to that thought, but believes what they have said will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, that's an already, not that you will receive it, but you have received it, and it will be yours. We look at that scripture, I look at that scripture, and I go, and does not doubt in their heart. Now, I'm going to give you one that I don't doubt in my heart, and I want to ask how many of you are this. How many of you believe you are saved through Jesus? And don't doubt in your heart. You have no doubt. If you walked out this door and a giant bird came down and pecked your head off, that's a stupid. I'd rather not have you hit by a car. But you were to go home right this minute, you know where you're going home to. You cannot persuade me otherwise. My heart is persuaded. I do not doubt in my heart. I believe it, so I have what has been promised. I have what has been promised. So how many of us can say we believe every promise in the Bible and everything about God that same way? We want to. But sometimes if somebody says, okay, and I'm going to speak to a thing that we all understand and know, and that is healing. And I'm picking on Jim this morning, but there's many of us. Why isn't Jim healed yet? No, I'm not buying that. Okay? He is. He has. And what's going to what happens is, if we want to connect with that timing thing, it's not that God is waiting for his perfect time. He's waiting for our hearts to align and come to that place where doubt doesn't rise up. Now, do I say that Jim is doubting?
I agree with that.
He probably isn't. But how many of you have gone over and laid hands on Jim, fully persuaded in your heart that he's going to get up and walk? Now, you know what? I've prayed for him, but am I fully persuaded? When he doesn't get up right away, it's like, oh. Now, again, don't get caught up in all of this. We're going to keep praying, and we want to be fully persuaded to the place that our hearts are so unshakable that we just know whenever we lay hands and pray for somebody, they are healed. This is what Jesus did. He said, everything you saw me do, you will do in even greater things. And Scripture tells us there wasn't one person who came to Jesus that wasn't healed. So we're gonna. So then the enemy comes along to us and said, "Well, see." So what are we believing, or who are we listening to? What are we absolutely persuaded about? So when we talk about the attributes of God, we're talking about the characters and the characteristics of God, the things that we want to understand about who he truly is, because when we understand who he truly is, our faith, our believing in him grows. His word, and believing in his word, it persuades our heart to a place where there is no doubt. That's where we want to be, right? Fully persuaded. This has been running through my thoughts for the last couple of weeks. We know the song, "For I know whom I believe in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." That's 2 Timothy 1:12. It's God's word. I know who I believe in. Who do we believe in? And there's many things that we can say about the Trinity, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to spend some time looking at that the next couple of weeks. God's identity. And we think sometimes we know all about God. How many of you think you know all about God? I'm glad none of you put your hand up. There's wisdom. But the first thing we want to know, we know about God, is love. And I want to tell you everything else that we look at today and the next coming weeks about God. We have to view it through love. And who is love? Jesus. God is love. I'm going to put the scripture references there if you want to write them down, if you can actually see them. 1 John chapter 4. For God is love. In verse 10, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God just didn't merely say he loved us, he showed us. Verse 16, we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. God is love. You can't separate who he is from his love. He is love. And how he feels about us, well, we can all quote John 3:16, for God so loved. It wasn't that, yeah, I kind of like him. Yeah, I don't know if I'll do anything for him. God so loved the world. He so loved, as Ted shared this morning, every person who walks this earth and has walked this earth, he loves them. whether they believe in him or not. Whether they're following something else that isn't leading them to him or not. He loves them. And that will never change. His love for people will never change. How about John 15? As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Who said that?
Jesus.
Remain in my love, he tells us. Love each other as I have loved you. And then he says this, greater love has no man than this, that they lay down their life for one of their friends. How many of you are willing to lay, you know what, I don't doubt any of you would lay down your life for a family member. How about just a friend? How about just a friend? And this is God's love for us. God's love for us. And what happens is our hope is not disappointed because the love of God, guess whose love? God's love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you say, well, I can't love some of my family members. Guess what? It's not about your love. It's about his love poured out into your heart. Because we're becoming less and he's becoming more. In fact, I think Ted said it last week, Ted Van Diepen, when he was talking, he says, that old nature, that old man is dead and buried in the ground. And if you don't think it is buried, throw another shovel full of dirt on it. I love that. I was going to put a picture up. I might do it next time. It is a picture of a grave with one foot sticking out. That's the way we kind of live, dead and buried, except for one little bit sticking out here. Throw another shovel. How about Romans 8, 35 to 39? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble,
nope.
Hardships,
nope.
Persecution,
nope.
Famine,
nope.
Nakedness? Danger?
Nope.
The sword?
Nope.
None of that. No, in all this we are more than through him who loved us. All of those are defeated through him who loved us. And I love this. For I am convinced, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are in Christ, you are in love. And I don't mean you're in love. Well, you could be in love with God. But you are in the center of his love. You are a part of God who is love, and nothing can separate you from that love. God is love, and it is the and he is the source of love, and it is by him we experience true, real love. Love is the very nature of God, and love has this incredible thing. It wants your well-being. God is concerned for your well-being, but not concerned in, oh, but he's concerned about you. He takes care of you. He wants you to experience all that he has for you, all that Christ died to give you, life and life abundantly. Let's talk about the famous, I call it the famous wedding scripture. Whoops, sorry. I thought I put it in there. I didn't. 1 Corinthians. Thank you. The wedding scripture. I almost read it at every single wedding, but it's not meant for just the weddings. It's meant for us. When I read this scripture, I'm going to do something. I'm going to substitute the word God, who is love, for the word love. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking, and he's not easily angered. Doesn't say he doesn't get angry. He says it's not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrong. Where are all our wrongs? In the sea of forgetfulness. Don't go fishing. Just telling you. Don't go fishing. Love does not, or God does not delight in evil, but in rejoices in the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. God never fails. Because love never fails. Right? So when we look at the attributes of God, we have to start with love. Because he flows out of love. All he does flows out of love. God's love for you is undeniable. But how about your heart? Is your heart persuaded of his love for you? His love for you is unconditionally committed to your well-being. Yes. And we heard a testimony this morning. Sometimes things don't always go the way we think. We're so sure it's going to happen a certain way, and it doesn't. And you sit there and go, wow, God, do you really love me? Because sometimes we attach what God does or what doesn't happen to his love for us. But his unconditional commitment to your well-being is love. He is a personal God, and he desires an intimate fellowship with you. He desires intimate fellowship with you and with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Jesus, who walked.